Hello, hello. We're back for another Hot Cookie Ski Bum podcast, number 19.
19.
I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is Mario.
What's up?
What's up, man?
Had to bring that up from the past.
Yes.
What's up?
How's it going, man?
Good, good. A good week today?
Yeah.
Good week today? Today, this week. I had a good week this week.
I like that.
Yeah. Did Foo Fighters last week, and then I'm cruising into this week.
Very nice. How was the show?
Excellent. It was freaking off the hook.
They brought the awesome. Foo?
They brought the Foo.
It was fought?
It was. The Foo was fought. Nice. There was no Foo left after they fought it.
Nice. Yeah.
It was a great show.
Yeah. I had a pretty dynamite week, too. Did a Hudson River cruise from New York all the way up to Bear Mountain.
Nice.
Did a great hike up there. Beautiful weather. And also went to a show. Went to see Todd Terrier and the Olsons on Tuesday.
Nice. The Olsen twins? No.
Kind of. Well, they were brothers.
Yes.
They weren't twins. They were brothers. And they were awesome.
Wow. Sounds highfalutin. Cruise on the Hudson.
That's what we do.
A little highfalutin.
That's what we do, baby.
I like that.
It's the summertime. We can't be skiing. We got to be doing other stuff.
Summertime, highfalutin time.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can guys can hit us up. Get all of our information at skibumpodcast.com. Check us out on iTunes, Facebook, Highfalutin Ski Bum, Twitter, at Ski Bum Podcast. Oh, you guys know by now.
You know what time that is.
It is weekly flavor time.
All right.
Mario, what are you drinking?
So weekly flavor this week, I had to go with old favorite because I ran into a buddy, Tom, that we went to Telluride with.
Telluride Tom.
And he got me hooked on these Moscow Mules. Mm. So I'm doing a Moscow Mule in honor of the memories of Telluride again still.
Very nice. So what's in a Moscow Mule again?
Moscow Mule, ginger beer, vodka, did a little Tito's in there, and lime. That's it.
Dynamite.
Ice, and you got to have it in one of these, if you can hear. One of these nice copper glasses.
That is fancy right there. I like it. And I, this week, just because tomorrow is National Tequila Day, I am having a lovely Cabo Wabo Reposado, which tastes a little bit like Tres Comas.
I like how you're supporting the day, the event.
I like to keep it topical, you know, keep it real. So
keep it topical like your ointment.
And I, true. And you know what? I like tequila. I like the aged tequilas. They got a little bit of a whiskey kind of flavor to it, but a little different. So that's what we're doing today.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I like it.
See, the mule settles my stomach, that ginger beer. So it's kind of twofold. Settles my stomach and gives me a nice little relaxation.
That works.
So, ski news.
Ski news. A lot of ski news. Yeah, it's the middle of July. Actually, probably towards the end of July. Getting closer and closer.
It's ramping up. I'm hearing more ski stuff.
Oh, I'm foaming at the mouth like every day thinking about it. So, first story. So, I found this story this week and decided to bring it up because last week we did our Too Hot for Hats topic and found a great little story that was kind of on the same page, which unfortunately we didn't have last week. So small on powder.com, they did a story called Small Brand Shootout, Skeeta, which is Corinne Prevost's company. She started this company after she graduated high school. She made ski hats, and then she turned it into a six-figure revenue.
That's a great story.
It's absolutely awesome.
How do you start out with your multi-million dollar empire? Start making hats at home. I love that.
You start doing what you love. Yeah, that's what she was doing.
That's how they did it back in the old days.
So now she's 24 years old and running Skeeta full-time, selling hats, headbands, and neck warmers online and in some 200 stores across the country.
That's great. 200 stores for small businesses.
Yeah, fantastic.
Awesome.
So yeah, we figured we'd start with that because it was topical from last week. So more hat news. Get away from it.
Going from the topical to the almost tropical, we got a little El Nino going on.
El Nino.
I've heard El Nino talked about time and time again now. It's becoming a bigger and bigger subject because it's looking like the ocean's heating up a little bit more and it's going to start messing with some of the weather. But we found this week the forecast now for skiing, not talking about the mayhem that it's going to cause with like rain in California and stuff like that. Potentially, but they're saying the forecast for skiing is going to be California, Arizona, South Colorado, New Mexico, above average precipitation. And then they're saying Pacific Northwest, though, Montana, which didn't have great snow this year, did they?
Yeah, it was kind of, not so great.
Wyoming, Idaho, they're saying below average. So I don't know what that means. It really depends on when it falls, too. You know, like is it a good dumping? Is it a, you know, is it early? Is it late? So I think we're going to have to look. It's one of those things you got to watch, you know.
Yeah, they're showing, you know, based on, you know, we'll tweet out the link and post it in the show notes too. They're showing the temperature outlook as well as the precipitation outlook. And it looks like the Northwest is going to have a warm and dry winter, which is not good for skiing.
But they're saying California.
Happier. California might get all that water that they need, or water or snow, hopefully, because they're like, what, 11 trillion gallons behind at this point?
It's tough.
Less than a year's worth of water they have left, I think.
Wow.
Crazy.
And they're like tapping into like water sources they haven't tapped into in like ever.
Yeah.
Crazy.
They got to figure out how to like desalinate the water in the ocean. They can just use all that. But then all the crazy Fukushima, that patch of like radioactive garbage cruising across the Pacific, so they got to deal with that too then.
You know, it amazes me they can't clean that up, but they could get like a giant roll, you know, giant size of toilet paper delivered to my house by a drone. They're talking about that, but they're not talking about the other stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
Saying
they'll figure it. You know what? If the back's against the wall and people are like, well, I could move from LA or we could clean this water up, they will figure out a way to clean that water up.
Yeah, you would think that would be a priority.
That's what we do as humans. We get ourselves into these deep, terrible situations, and then we dig our way out of it.
Get right through it. All right, what else we got?
Next up, we have... So there was a TEDx talk back in June that was recently posted, and Jason Leventhal, formerly of Line Skis, currently of J Skis, did a presentation. And it was really great. The topic of it was Nobody Needs More of the Same Thing. And what he did was kind of gave a history of his life. You know, he was in college, and you know, he decided after college to just start building his own skis, which were actually kind of like, you know, there was the traditional old skis that never really evolved into much, and everybody was snowboarding at that time, like the mid to late 90s. So he's like, why can't I have a ski that acts like a snowboard? So he built his own kind of like mini ski.
And there's the drum roll.
Snowblades.
Boom! It all comes. All roads lead back to snowblades.
Yeah, it started out. Look, it was like a mini ski, so like a snowblade, and they were doing all kinds of cool tricks, and they were able to get into the X Games, and then it evolved into the Line Ski Company, which was, you know, pretty much revolutionized a lot of ways, a lot of the you know, the things that most skis have now, and a lot of different ski companies are doing. And then he talked about moving on to his new company, J Skis, which makes a lot of really cool, unique, almost like boutique skis. And he summed it up, yeah, nobody needs more of the same thing. He's like, if you're going to do something, do it different. Put your stamp on it. Make it unique. And it's a great presentation. It's very interesting. Especially, like, I love the whole ski history part of it, too. So we'll post a link on that. It's on YouTube. Fantastic.
What was the one thing about that? You said he won a medal.
He won a medal in the X Games. Yeah, I think it was, like, the late 90s.
I didn't even know that snowblades were in the X Games.
Yeah, neither did I. He won the bronze, and his buddy won the gold.
So I would say now snowblades are acclaimed. They're an acclaimed snow product used on the mountain.
Yes.
Just saying. And I see them around every year.
Yes. Usually people wearing jeans.
This year we're going to go out in jeans and we're going to snowblade. We got to do it. Want to get an old pair of Line snowblades.
Let's do it.
That'd be awesome.
I think we have to now.
Yeah. So then, actually, Brian found this one. This was a pretty good article. So it's about how ski bumming leads to success.
Who does it ever?
So they're talking about, you know, the parody of ski bums and successful people. And there are a lot of good parodies, you know, a lot of good arguments they make here. So they're talking about how, you know, ski bums are looked down on, being a ski bum, taking that path, you know, at some point in your life. But they're actually saying, like, it builds character in a lot of ways. So they're, you know, they go on, they talk about prioritization. So they're saying, you know, ski bums have a priority to ski. Above all things, so they prioritize that above other things. It translates into,
you do whatever you have to do to make that happen. You know,
exactly. You know, you're working to get that, make that goal. Economics. So of course, ski bum is a bum. You got to make every dollar last.
That's true.
Right. They work really hard in the off season so they can ski the entire season. So they got, you know, skills there managing that money. Dedication and commitment. There's no better dedication than just saying, I'm going out becoming a ski bum. So,
yeah, dedication and commitment it talks about, you know, if you're, you know, you're always progressing into that preferred area. So, you know, you want to go bigger at the park, drop off a bigger cliff, you know, bigger ascents via skin track. You know, you're always going to that next level. Again, so a lot of great parallels that they talked about here.
Wearing snowblades on the mountain.
You could do that too. Risk versus reward, you know, like risk assessments.
Exactly. Use of resources and simple living, right? Now, use of resources, this is what people do when they repurpose furniture or they make something out of something else. You know, you make a couch out of crates or something like that. So they talk about that, you know, all resources to keep alive and keep skiing, you know. Yeah. Risk assessment. So risk assessment part is pretty funny because they're talking about how, yeah, they assess the risk of, like, you know, between doing a really cool jump or something like that and being able to ski every day. So, like, you know, you risk reward, like, you know, that concept, bigger perspective to shape the long-term outcome. So, but yeah, it was a pretty interesting article.
A lot of great parallels they put in there. So yeah, we'll post that as well.
All right, what else you got, Brian?
Next up, so over in Europe, the Eurostar train just debuted new ski routes from London.
This is awesome.
This is really cool. So, you know, if you're one of our fans over in jolly old England, they just announced, Eurostar announced tickets for the 2015-2016 ski season are now available, and three different routes access a larger range of resorts. So it's reported that in addition to the high-speed service from London to Courchevel and La Plagne in the French Alps, a new direct Eurostar train will run from London to Lyon, putting Alpe d'Huez and Les Deux Alpes within reach. There's also a new service to Geneva, which will take 6 hours and provide access to Tignes and Valzère. Service begins December 19th and can be booked right now.
That's awesome. So Alpe d'Huez, like during the Tour de France, Alpe d'Huez is when they do have it on the tour. I believe they have it this year. It's like a well-known, like famous climb. And to get there, these people go up in campers and stuff like that. So it's actually, that would actually make it easier to get there.
Yeah, that's great.
I think that's awesome. Because the other thing too is if you're skiing and you want to see some of the rest of like Europe, you could just jump on that, go for like a day or two trip. I like that a lot.
Yeah. And then we have one more story in ski news. So our friends over at Snowvol.com, they are having their current 2015 Snowvol Award nominations. So what you can do is go over to Snowvol.com, S-N-O-W-V as in Victor, O-L-E.com, and click on the main promo image. And it has a whole, you know, a whole form you can fill out, you know, best ski and board resort, favorite ski manufacturer, favorite ski and board school. You can put all that stuff in and then submit your nominations. And then they're going to, you know, have accumulate all that information and then announce their best of the best for 2015.
Nice. What are you looking at supporting, putting down?
You know, the typical stuff. I'm putting favorite resort is Telluride. You know?
You know what I see on there? Ishkill and Winter Mode.
Best après ski resort's got to be Ishkill, yeah.
Hell yeah, hell to the yeah.
Best winter sports app. See, that kind of takes us right into our topic today. So we didn't mention it at the top of the podcast because we wanted to surprise you. Today's topic, tech yourself.
Tech yourself, son.
So we're going to talk about some of the cool tech stuff going on right now in the ski world.
So when we looked at a lot of the tech stuff, so it seemed like there were a lot of things out there, a lot of new stuff on the horizon, things coming out, things getting better. So we broke them out into categories. So we'll start with, like, the first category we have is watches. So there's a lot of different watches out there. Some do basic stuff. Some integrate with phones. So we'll start with, Brian, we'll start with the first one. I know this is one of your favorites.
Oh, yeah. Sure thing. The first one is the Apple Watch. So the Apple Watch, what it does, we've all seen it. We all have heard about it. It tracks basic health and workout info. And, you know, like with all Apple products, one of their strongest thing is the app infrastructure. Right. And it's still kind of new, so that's still being built out. And we're going to actually do a podcast probably next week or the week after regarding apps. And we'll get more into detail on this one at that time. We have them all figured out. We haven't done our research yet. But one of the things that we kind of were curious about is how well does it hold up to in the cold weather? Because sometimes when you have your phone, It can die in the cold weather. It'll be
phone dies all the time, dude.
Does it? Well, you haven't skied with a new iPhone 6 Plus yet.
It's gigantic. I gotta wear it next time I buy.
And it runs so hot. It counters the cold perfectly.
That thing's so big, I could wear it on my back and it'll protect my spine.
It's like a little oven. That thing, yeah. And another thing too with the Apple Watch that I know I was concerned about, and part of the reason I never even looked at it was that you need your phone to kind of access all your music
So it's an extension of your phone, but.
Yeah.
You still need the phone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought the idea was to shrink it down to a tiny thing that you carry.
That's why I still love my old, 5 or 6 year old little Apple iPod Nano with the wristwatch holder.
They still sell those on eBay.
It's the only place you can get them from, refurbished ones on eBay.
It's a huge market, though. I went looking for one.
They're more than the last generation ones are.
Yeah, they're like $150, $120, some of them.
Because they're tiny and they're awesome and they're perfect.
Well, they have that screen. So they have the screen still, and it's tiny. And they don't make anything that small anymore.
It was the best thing they ever did. And what sucks about it, though, is it still uses the old plug, the old 30-pin Apple connector. That, and it doesn't have Bluetooth. So you have to have it wired for your headphones.
Yeah.
I mean, you can buy one of those little modules and stick it in there, but that's... It makes the thing bigger, which kind of defeats the whole purpose of it.
Right.
So, but it's still my favorite thing to use.
They should come out. See, I don't think they wanted to come out with a new form factor like that because they were thinking about the watch.
Oh, of course. Why would you sell a $200 iPod when you can sell a $500 or $17,000 watch?
I bet you they'll come out with it now. Say, look, if you don't want to hook up with your phone, now we have the Nano.
Yeah. Well, they still have the Nano, but it's like kind of a weird in between size.
Yeah, it's like a tall size.
Yeah.
Wow. So then another watch that I saw that was pretty popular, Garmin makes really good stuff, good GPS stuff. I actually had a runner's watch that did the GPS and had your route and everything. It was pretty cool. Of course, I never used it, and I just got fatter and didn't know.
Doesn't work at the buffet very well.
I actually still have it if you want to, because you're running.
I'll try it out. Ran 5.5 today. Half marathon's coming up in 2 months.
Boom. You're in training.
I'm ready.
So this one does – the good thing about this one, what people loved about it, and they're going to come out with the version 3. So this is a version 2. 3 is due out this year. But they said this one's cool because it actually will record your individual ski run. And I don't know what it does. It somehow figures out that you're on the chairlift, and it records that separate from your actual run. I was like, that's pretty cool.
There's some apps that do that too.
Yeah.
If you have it on the phone, yeah.
I guess if you're in motion or whatever. Then there was and there's a few of them out there. I mean, another one I looked at was that Sonido Ambit 3 Peak Black. Mm-hmm. It has a cool looking, I don't know if you looked at that one, but.
Yeah, I was just looking at it now.
It has a cool look to it.
It's a very, it looks almost like a high-end, Hublot watch.
Yeah.
It's really cool, yeah.
But they all do something a little bit different, you know.
The ultimate GPS watch for sports and adventure.
Adventure, see? So if you're out.
If you're a swashbuckler, if you're a pirate. This is the watch for you.
Are you mating? All
right. But yeah, it's a really, the one, that Sapphire one, is a really good looking watch.
Yeah, and there's tons of them out there. So it's kind of like, it's definitely, you have to do a little shopping if you want to get one of these.
Yeah. And then one other thing they also have, the Fitbits, they have, they do some ski tracking as well. And the Jawbone. Jawbone's got a couple different models that they will also, so kind of track how much skiing you do, how much, exercise you get out of it, how many calories you burn.
Yeah. You got to watch out with some of these, though. I would imagine some of the watches that are made for being out are a little bit better than some of the Fitbits, because I have a Garmin Vivo Smart. I got it last year, and I tried wearing it skiing, because it has a heart rate monitor, and it'll track your activity. And it froze up. The battery didn't last that long. It was just kind of like... After all, I was like, I'm not even bringing this ski in because it just was too much. So definitely have to do research.
Yeah. But. Yeah, look at these. Is it Suunto? Is that how it's pronounced?
Suunto, yeah.
Suunto. The Ambit 3 Peak in black is a really good-looking watch.
And these are like the GPS watches, so they maximize, they don't drain that battery. They have something in there to maximize the use of the GPS.
Yeah.
Which is really neat.
It's a really good-looking watch. I like that.
All right, what else? What's the next topic? What do we got?
Cameras and wearable computers.
Oh.
So, of course, we kind of mentioned it, I think it was 2 podcasts ago. GoPro, they have their little cube form factor. And they also have they're still the old standard GoPro. They've got it.
The four plus.
The four plus, yeah, the newer and then one. the little one's.
I think I have a four.
And then the hero.
Yeah, the I think I have a hero four.
Three. We have the same one.
Son of a.
We got the ghetto old GoPros now.
I got to get the cube just so I could get something.
We got to step our GoPro game up.
You know what? It still works really well, though.
It works fine. We can still shoot in, what is it, you know, 4K?
Yeah.
And which we're never going to use.
I can't play it on my TV. I don't have a 4K TV.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're still fine with your GoPro.
I'm still good.
The three.
Yeah.
Unless our friends at GoPro want to send us fours, and we'll talk about how crappy the three is.
It would be great to demo one. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Then I saw the Sony Action Cam Mini. They actually said that was highly rated for taking video. Because Sony does, you know, they've always done pretty good cameras. And this one, I guess, is in a housing that's actually really, they said is really cool. They said it could compete with, like, a GoPro. So I was pretty impressed to see that.
Yeah, theirs is more of a, I'm trying to describe the shape of it. It's, instead of being, like, a flat square, you kind of have the lens in the front, and then all the guts are long behind the lens. So kind of like an old camcorder would be if you kind of cut it in half.
Right.
That's the shape of the Sony camera, which is actually a pretty smart design, I think.
It depends where you want to mount it, right? Like, because the
GoPro... For your helmet, it's great.
Right, right. The GoPro looks a little... Actually, we saw one of the comments of one of the other products we're going to talk about said, the GoPro, one of the problems of the GoPro, you look like a Teletubby. Because, you know, here you're all bundled up and you got the GoPro sticking out of your head.
That is a perfect analogy. That's why I like the chest mount. That's what we use. We
use chest mounts. Nice.
It's more stable, you know.
It looks better. It gives you a better, less jumping around image.
Yeah, because it's in your chest, and that your chest doesn't move as much as your head would. In your head, you're kind of turning your head and looking at different things, while your chest, you're not going to really turn that much.
The funniest thing, though, is if I ever go down and I want to get people coming at me, I look like an idiot because I'm, like, trying to bend over, you know, turn around and twist around, or have to go backwards, and I'm like, I just look pretty stupid probably, but...
Why are those people judging you?
Hey, I don't really care. Who are
they? You got to be yourself.
Exactly. So those are like cameras like that you could put on stuff. And then there's a lot of other stuff that I found which are cameras built into things, right? So like I know, Brian, you had told me about the Oakley Airwave like a year or two ago.
Yeah, I think they're on their second version now, the 1.5. And, you know, who knows? Maybe there's a 2.0 coming out this ski season. But they've had a couple versions so far. And we went to an Oakley shop and tried them out. They're pretty cool. I mean, I don't know if I could justify spending $650 on it, but it is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Like, if you didn't have to worry about money, that thing is pretty awesome.
Which, being all highfalutin, we really don't have to worry about money.
Boom.
What is money?
Boom. So the Oakley Airwave, and then I saw another one, Recon Instruments, the Snow 2 HUD was highly rated, and they were almost like the same product by two different companies. They both give you a 14-inch image that looks like it's 5 feet away. So you can actually do, like, VR kind of, like, you know, you see your tracking and your speed and all your, all your statistics that you want to see right there in front of your face while you're skiing, which is pretty neat, you know.
That's so cool, but I know, being the asshole that I am, I would, if I saw my speed, I'd be like, I'm only going 40 miles an hour, I'd be like, fuck this, man. See how fast I can go, I'm just, like, stupid, and, you know.
You know what people are going to do, they're going to hack that and... You know, they're going to jailbreak it, and they're going to be watching a movie.
Turn it down?
No, they're going to be watching a movie while they ski. It's going to be the stupidest thing ever. Yeah.
Watching Hangover 3, man. Check it out.
It's bad enough people are, like, you know, swerving on the road trying to text. Now people are going to be watching a movie while they try to ski. It's just ridiculous.
Think about it. If you have a long, like, tram or gondola ride up, you know, you hack it in, you watch a movie.
You do what everybody's done since the beginning of time, skiing or boarding, is you talk to the people next to you, and you hang out.
How much stimulation do we need at every single moment?
It's nice. That's where you go skiing. You shut down and kind of congregate and talk to the people around you.
Lately, I've been just so happy just leaving my phone somewhere and not having it with me.
Like, yeah.
It's such a glorious feeling not having that stupid thing buzzing and ringing and having to check it. I think I have carpal tunnel developing from looking at my goddamn phone, this giant monstrosity iPhone 6 Plus, which works great as like a GPS when in your car, but... Just for, like, having it all the time in the summertime. See, now I understand why they released it in the fall. Because you got your cargo pants, you got your jackets, you can jam it in one of those pockets and not worry about it. Now it's summertime. Less clothes, you got to find pockets for it, and it's like carrying a phone book with you.
I want to see, there's got to be an image of somebody that fell asleep with it on their chest, and that six plus
the sunburn,
the gigantic like non-burn where the six plus was.
Six plus tan lines. I wonder if there's a website called iPhone 6 Plus Tan Lines.
There's got to be.
No.
I went out this weekend, and I didn't bring my phone. I just forgot, you know.
And it felt great, didn't it?
And I was like, I thought about it, and I was like, I'm not going back for it. I don't need this super phone. For 2 hours that I'm gone at the supermarket, it's fine. So then Smith Optics, they have another one, Smith Optics IO Recon. That one has Bluetooth, though. I think so that's a little bit different. It has a gyroscope, Bluetooth, so it has a little bit different features, and it syncs up with your phone, so you can actually control your music. I think actually the Oakley does, too. So it's kind of like, there's another thing where you have to go through, like, look at the style, because definitely the styles are a little bit different of the goggles, the tint on the lens, that's going to be different, and then, you know, just some of the features, and some of the prices. They actually vary in price, like a few $100.
Yeah, the Oakley one, it's got the GPS, you know, the heads-up display, GPS, Bluetooth. Onboard sensors give you instant access to jump analytics that show distance, height, and airtime. But there's so much more. Preloaded maps, music playlist control, buddy tracking, and so on.
Buddy tracking's kind of cool.
AirWave isn't merely a goggle. It's a mobile dashboard.
One of the things I saw with these, though, when I was looking through some of these, they recommend having a battery backup. Because they will drain out.
And see, that's part of the problem, too. If you have a GoPro, your phone, these goggles with the built-in, you know, GPS and everything, you're going to be sucking battery all the time.
You're going to have to carry another battery and wire it to all the devices.
What about a full onesie snowsuit made of solar panels? So you're pretty much a power grid skiing around.
Why don't you just get a Halo suit and just have everything built in?
I want to be a skiing power grid.
You ever see the bear guy? The bear suit guy?
No.
Oh, you never saw? Oh. All right, we got to do that on another show. Brian's got to see the video. It's awesome.
I got to see the bear suit guy.
What's his name? Herbiter or something like that? And he's come out with other products that are freaky in nature that he's actually started a contract with some governments on. Weird stuff. He's out there. He's very out there, but he could be onto some of the stuff. They actually made fun of him in a lot of shows. The Office made fun of him. I mean, but it's funny. You got to see the videos, especially the testing ones. It's awesome. Then they have like, all right, so those are goggles. Then, of course, there's the drone. So the Ghost drone we actually talked about, I think that was through Kickstarter.
The Kickstarter one, yep.
And they talked about that, saying that they are, people are doing a lot of pre-orders for that. And it looks really cool. It's one of those that'll fly near you and follow you, which is really cool. It's also waterproof, so you can drop it in the water and it'll fly back up. So pretty neat stuff.
And right now, if you go to their website, ghost-drone.com, they have a 20% off coupon code.
It's actually a good deal.
It's a very good deal.
20% off of $600, right?
It's $120. That's not chump change.
Mm-mm.
Make that work for you.
You know me. You know how many PBRs that'll buy you?
12,000.
The next one you were looking at before is pretty cool.
Which one is that? The Hit Case, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hit Case is kind of a unique product. What it is, it's a case for your iPhone. I think they only have iPhone products right now.
Yeah, it was the 4s through 5s right now, right?
5 through 6.
Oh, they have 6. Okay.
No 6 Plus, though, because the 6 Plus is too goddamn big.
Yeah, I think they need, like, special... clearance from like the government to make something that big.
Yeah, it's a 100% waterproof, shockproof, and mountable case for the iPhone that takes your pictures and videos to a creative new place. So what it is, it's a giant case, and it's got all kind of mounting hardware, so you can mount it like you would mount a GoPro. But one of the cool things about it too is the front of the case where your camera is, you can put different lenses on there. So they have there's like interchangeable 3x wide lenses you can add to that case.
It's awesome.
It's pretty cool. So you can get a whole different view than you would have with a regular, you know, iPhone that you're using.
Yeah, one of the things they said about it is that a lot of times when you take with your phone, it's just not, you don't get the same experience as you do with like a GoPro because it has a little bit of wide angle lens. Yeah. So that helps.
Yeah, it's cool. So I'm looking at their website now and they have the super wide lens, which is included. Also a wide, a macro, and a flat. So you could do the macro lens, which can have some pretty crazy effects too. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So even if you wanted, you could have that thing mounted and the GoPro on your helmet. So you have multiple camera angles.
Well, the one thing I liked about this is I'm going to have my phone on me anyway, probably.
Yeah.
So it's one, you know, if I'm carrying that anyway, why not be able to take pictures or video with it?
Kinda yeah. Nice. That thing is pretty cool. We should definitely try to get one of those this winter and see and try it out and see how it works.
I like that chest mount. The chest mount works so well.
Yeah.
And then there were some other goggles that had like, they had, you know, the camera built in. So Liquid Image, I know they've had one for a while, and they actually supposedly do a pretty good job. A lot of the reviews I've seen, they do, I believe they do a snow version. They do like, if you do like biking and, you know, motocross and things like that, they have cameras for that, you know, goggles and cameras for that too. But these vary widely. Some of them have Wi-Fi hookups so you can control your smartphone from your goggles. Like, so like that's another one that's like hooked up. Similar to the other goggles we talked about, but it has a camera in it.
So are we slowly becoming cyborgs with this sort of technology?
Tell me, Halo. We're going to be in the Halo suit just skiing.
It's going to be pretty sweet.
And then you can have the, you know, the assisted, you know, like the suit where you fit into it and it assists you to, like, stand up and stuff. I saw a whole thing this week on, like, leg parts where, like, so paraplegics, they actually have a suit where they could put them in and they'll stand up. And it's like, it's almost like robot assisted where they could stand and has little sensors on there.
Huh.
So you have, they were showing a guy that, I forgot how he got injured. I think it might have been in Iraq or Afghanistan. And he was able, he was paraplegic, he could move both legs. And he was able to stand up on his own with the assistance of this thing and walk around. So it was pretty neat. He was at an award show or something like that. And, you know, that's why I think it spurred the story. But they were saying, like, why would they create something like this? Yes, for the paraplegic, but they were saying in outer space, when they go to space, if you're out there for just even a few weeks, you lose so much muscle strength. All the atrophy,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they said if people are going to be out there for a year or 2 years with this whole, they're talking about Mars, deep space exploration, they're saying that they would probably need this to help assist with lifting really heavy objects, too.
So it's pretty much Avatar.
Exactly.
Avatar or Lawnmower Man.
And Halo. That's what I'm saying.
Halo, yeah.
All comes down to that.
That's the future.
But if the, you know, handicapped people can benefit from it, hell yeah, it's great.
Get Stephen Hawking out there.
Yeah.
Get him in an Avatar.
Dude, it was awesome to see the guy walking. I was like, wow, here he was. Just up walking, you know, he's walking slow, but he actually, that's what it was. He danced at his own wedding.
Oh, wow.
With his wife. It was really, really cool.
And not a dry eye in the place.
There wasn't a dry eye when I was watching it. All right, the next category we have, there was a ton of gloves and some socks. So, Brian, why don't you hit us up with the...
Yeah, so, Sirius, the Inferno Heated Glove. A relative steal at $375.
Wow.
You get three temperature settings.
You know what kills me? You can get footbed liners for like $200 or right?
Probably less.
The
I think ours were like, what, $180 or $170?
Oh, no, I'm saying the heated ones.
The heated ones. Yeah, that's a lot of cash for heated gloves. I mean, they're pretty cool. It looks like they, you know, I don't quite understand where the heat source is. Is it a little nuclear reactor?
They have a little battery thing that fits in there and then it heats.
Battery life varies depending on which setting you choose. At the highest setting, which is what you'll want for very cold days, you only get 2 hours of battery life. The gloves worked well for me in a 10-degree weather. This is just an article I'm reading. This is not my personal account. But they don't work universally well for everyone. On a cold day in Vermont, I suggest wearing glove liners plus mittens and using low-tech hand warmers. Caveat aside... Scroll back up, please, so I can read this. These gloves are well made, and toggling between the various settings is easy. So,
wow.
Yeah, those are...
I don't know if it was Sirius. It was another company that actually made a heated jacket with a little battery in it. Steve got one.
Really?
Yeah, I forgot what brand it was, but...
Guys, I got the heated jacket. It's really great. It keeps me nice and toasty.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. So, yeah, he said he got it, and he's used it a few times because it's, like, thin like a shell, but it has the heater in it, and it actually keeps you warm like you're wearing a full jacket. It's pretty neat.
I don't think I've ever been skiing any time, any temperature, where I felt like I needed more heat.
Oh, I've been in Killington this last year. Hell yeah, with the wind.
There was a couple times. I mean, it's really in the lift lines. It's not actually skiing.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Because we do, like, a lot of, like, aerials and stuff. So we, you know, got that generating the heat.
Plus, too, like, I'm hot all the time. Like, that's, I've never, there's been one time, I think, where my fingers were, like, completely numb. And that was it. One time.
With these heated gloves for under $400, you'd have been warm and toasty.
Do you know how many pairs of those little, like, hand warmers you could buy for $400?
You know what was funny? I read, I was looking at this, and they had an account of somebody that had, it was either these gloves or one of the other ones that were heated. And they were saying the gloves work so great, but they had to still go in early because their feet were freezing. I was like, now you got to get the heated feet thing.
Yeah, you put all of your budget into your gloves, and you ignored your feet.
You can't ignore it. Now, the next one, the Bear Tech. So I saw a few different sites had these listed. So they're Bear Tech Bluetooth snow gloves. A steal at $170. Now, Brian, you looked a little more in depth. These look pretty awesome.
Those did look pretty awesome.
So it's a, it's what is it, a Bluetooth set of gloves?
Yeah, it's like a sync module, they call it. It tucks into the pocket at the top of the glove. It charges via micro USB and gets up to 80 hours of battery life. Pair gloves with your Bluetooth-enabled smartphone and then tap the button on the left thumb of the glove and you're ready to start performing basic commands by tapping the touch points on the fingers of the glove to an activation touch point on the thumb.
That's awesome.
So it's almost like Minority Report. So you're controlling things with just the gloves not having to pull out your phone.
And you could have a conversation on it, right? Like you're talking into your fingers?
You can answer or decline calls, play or pause music with the top touch sensor on the index finger, while the touch sensors on the middle finger allow you to advance tracks forward and skip back. So yeah, you almost have to figure out what does what, but you have all these controls right in your gloves.
Wow.
Cool, yeah.
That's what I've been looking for in gloves for a long time.
Yeah, those are pretty neat.
Then there were the Cheval Response XRT heated gloves. Not more heated gloves, pretty much the same as the other ones. But these are like, they almost look like the, you know, they had like leather and stuff on them. Like they were high quality gloves, you could tell. And then the last one, Thermic. This one really was for the socks. Those power socks look awesome. So they're socks with like a little heater through them and a little power supply on them. So instead of having boot liners that are heated, you just have these little socks.
Yeah, I'm looking at those now. Those are pretty cool. It's almost like they have a spine, which is where all the heat comes from.
Yeah, right? It's like, so the heat is right in the sock. You can put it on. You can wear it in your ski boots. You can wear it hiking, whatever you want to wear it for. So it's kind of like it's a little more transportable than just having a boot liner, a heated boot liner in your ski boot.
And the boot liners, too, I think you're kind of stuck to – you need either a custom boot liner or you need a particular boot that has the adapter to allow the heater
built
on
in.
There.
Yeah. And then you could probably use these for snowboarding. Use them, put them in your snowboard boots, right?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Now, the only thing was – I was thinking, oh, that's a great idea. They're probably pretty cheap, you know, reasonable, $100 or something like that. About $230.
Yeeks, for a pair of socks.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was bucks or pounds, so it could be more.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Those are pretty cool, though.
Yeah, they're pretty neat, right? And then the next group we have battery packs. So
with all this technology you have on you, you got to keep it juiced up somehow.
You like the juice, huh?
You like the juice.
I get you more juice. So there's tons of rugged outdoor ones, ones in cases. So everybody's seen them, but we came across one that looked pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the new Trent Power Pack Ultra. It's waterproof. It's got a huge power supply packed in a small package. It's about the size of an iPhone 5.
That's pretty small.
Which isn't bad, yeah.
And this thing said 14,000 megahertz, right? Now, I have one that's huge that I brought to Europe. It was either 9,000 or 12,000 megahertz. It was gigantic. You could power, there was probably like 3 or 4 charges of a laptop in that. This thing's 14,000.
It's a lot of juice.
In a tiny little thing. I'm like, so.
And it's only $40, and it's something you can throw in. If you look, if you're carrying a backpack on you or a camelback or something, you can throw that in there and not even notice it. Tiny.
70.
It's on sale, though.
Oh, it's on sale?
Look at the, if $39.95 right now.
That is a freaking steal.
Yeah, it's on sale.
I might actually have to buy one now.
NewTrent.com. Check it out.
If I didn't have like 5 battery packs already, I'd probably just
Can you ever have too much power?
I actually want to burn the other ones out first before I buy a new one.
There you go.
I'm a little frugal like that. It looks pretty cool though, right?
Wow. It is kind of nice, yeah.
$40.
$40.
Damn. Love a good sale.
You're going to buy it right after this podcast, aren't you?
I probably am. I love a good sale. Once I get a good deal. All right, and then we get into helmets and speakers. So
what do you rock right now? You got a pretty cool Bluetooth setup, right?
No,
or it's wired.
Mine's wired. I have the Solomons with the they had the speakers built in, and it has a little plug in the back that detaches if you ever yank it. And it comes with a cord that just goes from the helmet to your phone or whatever source you want. And that's really good. I get good sound out of it, a little ambient, you know. But they have these other ones. So Outdoor Technology makes these chips, they call them. And they have the wired version where you just – because a lot of the helmets now, they make they have either the pocket in there for the headphones. I think almost all of them have like a pocket of some sort. And they have, for $4, you get the wired version, which is similar to what I have, where it's wired in and, you know, you got the plug in the back. Or you can get, for $130, a Bluetooth version, which that's pretty nice.
Yeah, those are really cool. I'm looking at those now. Those would be great. I mean, yeah, they're like little circles. You know, they're not like headphones. They're little circles you put in. A lot of the new helmets have that Velcro in there in the earpiece.
Yeah.
You put them in there and... Yeah, you connect to them via Bluetooth, and you can run your phone from your backpack or your jacket, pocket, wherever, and play it through there. And they got pretty good reviews. They got, you know, 4 out of 5 stars on Amazon, which is pretty good.
Yeah, the only one thing I saw about, like, the Bluetooth technology with speakers in your helmet is they say sometimes it can get a little distorted if you're doing a lot of activity
mm-hmm.
and moving around. And I have a cheap pair of Bluetooth that I've worn to the gym, and while you're running around and doing stuff, it will... Sometimes I don't know if you're doing a lot of jumping, it'll maybe cut out every once in a while.
Oh, really?
It's not bad, but it's just that's just Bluetooth technology.
Yeah, yeah. I still wear my cheap white iPhone headphones when I ski.
Boom.
And I don't love it. Noise canceling. No. See, I'm not that guy. The iPhone ones, they're okay at best.
Yeah, you still.
But they're small, which is nice. But they still, you know, they still press on. When you have your helmet on, it still kind of presses on your ears. Oof. And doesn't feel that great. But, you know, it does the trick.
We got to do a long-term study on the effect of those pressing on the ears of the headphones.
Long-term effects, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe we can get a grant.
Yeah, I think we should apply for a grant.
I think we have to.
For a ski study, to go skiing and check out the long-term effect of those on your ears.
Yes.
It's a great idea for a study.
We're doing an oral study.
If anybody can write up...
A-U-R-A-L.
That's right. If anybody can write up a grant for us, that would be much appreciated. Just reach out to us.
SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com.
Boom.
You know.
Then the other helmet technology that I saw wasn't really technology necessarily, but it was cool because it goes with the technology. So Giro makes a ski helmet called the Edit, and it has a GoPro mount built into it, which I thought was awesome. And they were the ones that commented that you no longer have to look like a Teletubby with this camera sticking off of your head because it mounts to like where your forehead would be, and it's built right in, so it's really, really cool.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. I'm surprised it took them this long to come up with something like that. You know, because so many people have GoPros now that you'd think a company would, you know, kind of get on that a little bit earlier. But the good folks at Giro, they finally did it. And multiple colors you can get, which is great. So if you want green or red or perhaps matte olive.
Or purple.
They don't have purple.
Oh, you could spray paint it.
Yeah, I think technically if you do spray paint it, it voids the, what is it, the whatever the security or the
really?
The testing, whatever the lab does that does the testing for safety purposes.
So if I want to put a nice flame job and my name on it?
No. It voids your safety and your warranty.
So if I have somebody pinstripe my name
Many lawyers in this country. That's what this all comes down to.
So if I have somebody, one of my friends, pinstripe my name on my helmet so that everybody knows it's my helmet, and it'll void that?
Completely avoids it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? So the next item we saw, right, it's a ski tracking system. Now, I still don't understand it. It looked really cool. But, Brian, you looked at the video. What did you think of it?
It's all in Russian, which sets all kinds of red flags off.
So, it's called the Madsus M-Power, and it goes...
M-A-D-S-H-U-S.
M-Power. And it's, I guess, it's using RFID technology. So what they do is they use your biometrics to try to help you pick out a pair of skis. And this is for cross-country skiing. It helps you pick out a pair of skis. And then there's a chip in your ski that actually has your biometric information. You tune it again with your app. And then while you're cross-country skiing, it seems to understand what movements you're doing. And it'll give you statistics on the efficiency of how you're skiing, the duration, the length, a whole bunch of stuff based on the skis and how you're using them, which seems interesting.
It seems like it can't be real.
Yeah, I don't. It just seems like a little, yeah, like it's out there.
It says the Madsus Empower app lets you customize performance each and every time you head onto the snow thanks to the embedded wax helper. You can also manage your ski quiver, track workouts, and engage with Madsus
Wax online. Technology, man.
What the hell?
I don't understand.
Is an embedded wax helper?
I need to know. I need to look more into this, and there's not a lot of information about it on the web.
Yeah, and yeah, with the things that it does talk about, it's a bit cryptic.
It seems like too good to be true, and then you can't find information. So
make accurate on-the-fly wax adjustments as the conditions change.
Wax adjustment?
What the hell does that even mean?
Does it heat wax like while you're ski? Like I don't know.
Is it almost like you feel like a car racer that has like the spray and like the knobs, and you can like spray wax onto your skis and it'll?
I need to. It's self-adjusting.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it's interesting. Very interesting that they have technology like that. So. And then other cool technology. So there's a bunch of things. This is almost like an around the horn for the technology.
Yeah.
That at least deserves credit for the technology. So.
Starting off, Jones Snowboards Ultracraft Split Snowboard. So this we kind of mentioned jokingly last week, talking about, you know, places like Alta and Deer Valley, which don't allow snowboarders. What this, and go away. So what this does,
we talked about the same thing. You had the idea, and now it's created. In 1 week, it's created.
My mind is blown, man. So what it is, Jones Snowboards, they have a product called the Ultracraft Split Snowboard. Split snowboards are a good idea. They divide and turn into quote-unquote skis, allowing snowboarders to use poles and get into backcountry and inbound terrain that would otherwise be difficult or deadly to navigate.
Hmm.
Snowboarding legend Jeremy Jones says they're designed moronically. Typically, a split board is a snowboard cut right down the middle, meaning all the engineering that went into designing a board to be both light and stiff and to turn it on a dime. It is gutted the second it's run through a table saw. Jones thought, why not build a split board with two cores? He wound up making what is essentially a pair of skis that are joined into a snowboard when duty calls.
Boom.
The model incorporates both dual wood cores and carbon fiber, cutting weight to 5.5 pounds and making it one of the lightest boards on the market. It's especially light for a split model, which usually add weight to compensate for the loss in rigidity. So
it's a lighter than normal snowboard as a snowboard.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, that's something, you know, if you're...
That looks pretty badass.
That is really neat. And I guess it's one of those things, like, you got to try it out and see if you're a boarder. That seems like it'd be great, you know, just to get yourself into places like Deer Valley
like
or Alta.
Yeah.
Get in there, and then you kind of cut into the backcountry and do your thing.
Walking with your two skis, put them together, boom.
Yeah.
I'm just skiing very parallel with weird stance.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, check it out.
Yeah, that was wild. And then I've heard about the next product I've heard about for a year or two. I was actually talking to a guy about the Apex MC X boot. And these are boots that are made for If you're a boarder and a skier, you have to have your boarding boots. So they're boarding boots that actually have a fitting that clip in, so you can use that same boot to ski. It's like a rigid exoskeleton, right?
Yes, they have your boarding boot. Yeah, it kind of wraps around it, and I guess that would fit into the binding of a ski, right?
It's awesome.
And it's awesome, too, because, you know, as skiers, we all know how much ski boots suck when you're walking around in them. This would allow you to have a snowboard boot, which is way more comfortable to walk around in, and then have this attachment that gets you into your ski binding.
Yeah, it's funny. So it was a guy at RAI, and I went down there. I was talking to him about something else, and we were talking, I had just come back from a trip, and he was saying how when he goes out, he likes to board and ski, depending on the conditions, and he enjoys both. So he says, coming with his own boots, coming with two sets of boots is a real pain in the testes. So he actually got these boots just for that reason. He's like, you know, his ski boots are stiffer and a little bit better than this system, but he said they're good enough that like it doesn't bother him, and he goes out and he just has to carry one set of boots for both. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's the one big thing that seems like, I guess you want that super rigid, tight boot for skiing.
Yeah.
It's the one thing I feel like that's the one thing that we still have somewhere we can evolve to get it right.
Yeah. You know?
I think ski boots, I mean, you know, they're still not comfortable. They're not fun to wear. You know, you're not happy wearing them.
There's got to be a way to make a pump boot, like to just form around your foot, like just put your foot in there and go psh, and just like expand it. And then you got a great fitting ski boot for the whole day.
Why isn't Reebok on top of this?
See?
They had the pump.
Pump technology.
Pump it up.
You got pump technology, you got blimp technology, and you got Mars technology. The three cores of a human experience.
Maybe that's why we have to go to Mars to find some sort of mineral we have to cultivate up there that'll allow this technology to come to fruition.
If we went to Mars, I'd want pump boots before I went there.
Oh, you'd have to have them.
Because I'm skiing on Mars.
Yeah.
We already decided there's enough snow on Mars to go skiing.
Yeah, and then one other thing, which I think we mentioned, we were talking about our kind of backcountry and extreme podcast a few weeks ago, is Dakine has their ABS signal backpack. So what it is, it has a ABS airbag system inside, which can be deployed in an avalanche. And
did you see the size of this thing, though? That's what amazed me.
It's tiny, right?
It's like a regular little backpack. I was like, my backpack is about the same size as that.
It looks like you could barely fit a laptop in there. Well, you can definitely fit a laptop, but like a few other little things. But it's not like those big, crazy backpacks that you see. But then when they show it, you know, with the airbag inflated, it's gigantic.
That's awesome.
Really, really cool, yeah. And it's called the actual model is the ABS Signal 25L.
Signal 20? At a mere $800. I don't know about the,
Isn't your life worth that if you're cutting an avalanche?
Actually, it is.
$800 is nothing.
$800 is nothing, especially you going in that area. And then, you know, I guess that's the other thing you have to look at is the canister to inflate. Those are usually like, I think now everything's on the reusable technology, so you can go different places and, you know, rent the canister.
The CO2 you need?
Because you can't fly with that stuff. Then the next one, so this is notable because they're pretty cool looking and they're pretty awesome skis. So Wagner Custom Skis, I actually found this on CNET when they did their review of like tech products. They actually mentioned this, and CNET is pretty good with like technology. They actually, so much technology went into making these, they said this gets an honorable mention as a tech product. And if you read up on it, they're saying they do customization from when you order the skis. And when they start making them, they do more customization and fitting. So by the time they're done, that ski is fully customized to your style and to your body and everything, which is pretty damn awesome.
Their skis are so awesome. And their website's actually really nice, too.
Yeah, and they even said you can customize, for the most part, the artwork on them, which is pretty nice. I mean, like, when do you get to do that? So it was a pretty neat technology.
Yeah, perfect fit custom skis you can get from them. And they have some really cool, if you go to the gallery section of the site, you can see all their different, you know, some of their designs they have. Even like the wood veneer one. So it looks like an old school wooden ski.
Those ones I fell in love with
when
I first saw them.
They're so cool. Yeah.
Because you see them in the ski shops, and a lot of times you'll see the wood veneer ones in the shops, and they just look so awesome. I saw so the first time I went to Telluride, remember I said we were going up to where the Double Diamond areas were. I forgot it was from Apex, I think. You take the lift up. There was a dude in a full fur coat with these Wagners and skiing. And I was like, he was a freaking great skier. So it was pretty awesome to see. Like, it was definitely like outdoorsy, like Daniel Boone kind of thing, you know?
Oh, and they got a pair of electric purple ones.
Electric purple.
Oh, I would rock those all day.
Not just purple. Electric purple.
Electric purple.
Wow.
Yeah, so WagnerSkis.com to check those out. And if they want to sponsor us, you know how to find us.
At this point, I just like the demo skis. SkiBumPodcast.com.
Hit us up. We love you. So if there's anything else that you guys can think of that you that we might need to know about tech-wise, hit us up. SkiBumPodcast.com. SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com. Twitter, Facebook. You know how to find us. So now, Mario.
Oh, it's time for Around the Horn.
Around the Horn time.
Bring this thing home.
Yeah. So what do you got? What's the first thing?
So first thing on my list for Around the Horn is Ashley Madison was hacked.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
So for those who aren't in the know, for those who are happily married, what is Ashley Madison?
So Ashley Madison, they bill themselves as a place for married people to cheat, right? But what it really is just a bunch of horny people that get on and they sign up for this. Kind of like Match, only with an extra discreet level of, hey, I want to be on Match. You might be single, you might not be single, but I don't care. I'm just kind of horny kind of thing.
Yeah, with Ashley Madison, it seems like you're there to bang. We want to learn to get to know each other. We're not going to fill out compatibility quizzes.
Yeah.
We want to have discreet banging going on.
Discreet banging. And you know what? I like checking things out, so I actually signed up for an account one time after I was divorced, but I signed up for an account, and I was like, let me just see what this is.
So wait, so you weren't even married, and you were going on a website for married people to have affairs with. So you're compromising the integrity of a cheating website.
It's not really what it is, though. So you get on for, like,
to cheat a cheat, that makes you honest.
Well, it's like, so I tried Plenty of Fish, Matt. Like, you know, everybody goes through all the sites at some point. Chemistry, even. It's just, they're all horrible. So you're like, all right, let me try this other stupid site.
Grindr. By accident?
I did not sign up for
Grindr.
Yo! Just got to say. So I was like, oh, let me just see what it's about, whatever. It always gets good reviews, like, for dating and whatever, hooking up. So I signed up, and it was just all ads. It was like ads for like, oh, look at my webcast, look at my pictures, look at, and it was pretty horrible. So, but anyway,
so they got fuck hacked. You, Ashley Madison. Good.
Yeah,
I'm glad you were hacked.
I don't really care. All my information is old, so whatever. But so the thing that came out of this, so they got hacked, and now the hackers are threatening to release the cheaters' information.
That's so funny.
I'm like, I guess some people are worried, but that's how they roll.
Always be careful what you put online.
Once it's there forever.
It is there. So next story. So this was an article on ski.curbed.com. Tour America's first all-inclusive marijuana ranch resort.
Nice.
So billed as the nation's first cannabis-friendly ranch resort, Durango's 170-acre Canna Camp is located in a setting that won't surprise those familiar with the Dude Ranch concept. Guests pay between $395 and $449 per night per person to sleep in rustic cabins, enjoy three meals on site every day, and indulge in outdoor adventures like mountain biking and hiking in the San Juan Mountains. But how many mountain resorts include a wake-and-bake breakfast, 420 community hour, jeez, and cooking with cannabis classes?
Wow. Imagine Julia Child with that. And here's how you put the cannabis in the...
Have like the barefoot cannabis Tessa, you know, like creating some recipes.
Yeah.
Reefer Rachel Ray.
Wait, so how much is that a day?
About $400 a day.
That's actually not bad for an all-inclusive, like a dude ranch. Like, because I know people that have gone to dude ranches.
They're
expensive. Like to sit, you know, to go to a rustic, you know, and do a little horseback riding, whatever. This has weed.
They even have cannabis yoga.
Oh, that's got to be good.
It says consuming small doses before participating in one of our yoga classes melts away nerves and inhibitions and makes you more receptive to the poses in the music, man. Enjoy a mellow high and greater focus on breathing in the crisp mountain air. Namaste.
Wow. Two things they better have then. really good breakfast and really good coffee.
Yeah, I'm sure they have bonfires, 420 community hour, cannabis pairing dinners. This sounds actually pretty cool. Cannabis
pairing dinners, wow.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. So speaking about cannabis pairing dinner, that leads into the next thing.
Ooh.
And it's kind of from Ashley Madison, we get into cannabis, and then we get into tender is tinder for food.
Mm.
So it's kind of combining the two. And it's combining the two because it's where it's promoting people cooking at home again. But what you're doing is you're looking at pictures of food and you're swiping left or swiping right. So now you're like, ooh, I like that. I like that recipe. You know, I got to get some of that. But you're talking about food, you know. So this is pretty cool. What I thought is you're at the Dude Ranch, you're at the Marijuana Ranch, and you're on the tender, and you're swiping the food that you want to eat after you've been baked. Mm. Not a bad idea.
I could see it working together.
I could see that could be good.
Yeah. Next up, Mick Fanning attacked by great white shark. So this has been all over the internet in the last week, so we're sure you probably have seen this. But if you haven't, you have to check this out. Mick Fanning is a Australian professional surfer, and there was a competition down in South Africa. And they, you know, they have video of the competition. He's going out there. He's getting ready to, I guess, get up on a wave. And all of a sudden, you see this shark come. And then he kind of gets hit. And there's, like, this little melee. And then he goes under. And there's a wave. And then he comes back up. And he actually, like, punched the shark, like, in the back.
That's awesome.
A couple times to get him away.
I think pissed him off. You could see it.
Yeah, and I mean, the shark really wasn't going after him. It looks like the shark was just kind of cruising by, and then, like, all of a sudden he kind of...
I think the shark was a victim.
The shark was a victim.
He beat the crap out of that shark.
There's actually...
And then he gets out of the water, like, in the video, and it's like he's just walking out. Like, yeah, that's right, I messed him up.
There's actually, like, an Onion article about, like, you know, like, from the shark's point of view.
I'm just minding my own business. This dude just...
It's like Dave Wilson, shark, attacked by Australian.
That's awesome.
But the video is crazy. I mean, it's terrifying if you're a tasty, delicious human like we are.
Oh, and that was sharks. A ski competition, too. So everybody's watching. The camera was on them.
Surf competition.
I mean, I'm in the ski mode.
Surf I know. We're in ski mode.
It was skiing with water. I mean, I don't know.
True. But yeah, it's you got to see the video if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's wild. Next one, ESPN came out with their body issue. So they do this. Is it monthly or is it
only? It's annually, I think.
Annually. I thought it was like at least one or two times a year.
I think it's just once a year because it says Body 2015.
All right. And this is pretty cool. Like, I've seen they actually have a video of this. Like, I know they played it on ESPN will play it on every once in a while. Like, they'll play the, you know, one after this releases, they'll play the body issue, like the video of making of the body issue. And this is pretty cool. They show, like, a lot of athletes naked, suggested poses, whatever, but, like, you know, covered. And it's pretty amazing to see some of the stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. Some of the, like, I just looked at and clicked on Jermaine Jones, who's a, you know, U.S. Men's national team soccer player. And he is so crazy covered in tats. I mean, his whole chest and arms are covered, legs. And no, that wasn't the first one I clicked on ever, people.
That was the first one he clicked on, and he studied every inch to know all the tattoos.
Well, the first one I was looking at was actually the cover story, which is, her name is, I believe it's...
Is that the shot putter?
She's a hammer thrower.
Hammer thrower? Oh my God, she's a beast.
She is a, she's a large gal, and we're looking at it, she's 5'5", like 215.
Wow.
Yeah, she's, but she says she's, you know, she's happy, she's proud of her body, she's happy, it's exactly what she needs for her sport. You know, and that's the one thing is, you know, people are easy, quick to criticize and say, oh, you're probably too fat or whatever. But, you know, she's a competitive Olympian in her sport. So she's doing something right.
I mean, I was an art major for a while and I used to draw people that were nude. And you know what? It's human body's beautiful. So you see this thing and it's just like.
Was that a line you'd use? Like, oh, no, seriously, just come over. Just get naked. I'm just going to draw you. I got my charcoal.
That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, it worked, right? And I mean, like, you dudes over every night.
And, you know, Brian, I did really want to draw it. No, I'm just joking. But, yeah, it's actually interesting to see, like, some of these athletes, they got, you know, great bodies, and they're just, like, in, you know, you get to see.
They have Allie Raisman, who was a gymnast for the U.S. Olympic team a couple years ago. her body is just so just muscular. It's unbelievable. Like those gymnasts, the kind of bodies they have.
Yeah, they do it in a nice artistic way, like Da Vinci, kind of like, you know, with the drawing, you know, they do it with the photography. It's great.
Why is there no John Daly? I want to see, like,
all right, this isn't your wish list of who you want to see in the body issue.
I want to see big fat John Daly with like a friggin' beer in his hand and his like mullet.
John Goodman?
The dude.
All right, what do you got? What's the next one?
That was the body issue. Next up, this one, this is near and dear to Mario's heart here. This guy, this gentleman, he ate at Chipotle 153 days straight. And he has a website called Chipotlife. And he shows a picture of what he ate and his receipt for every day. He's a 23-year-old animator from Los Angeles who joked with his brother that he was going to eat Chipotle for the 40 days of Lent. And then it just became his like way of life. And he says now he even orders extra meals in advance of company holidays like Easter and July 4th. So I just picture a freezer full of like burritos.
They would probably nuke pretty well.
You know what the tough thing is, though? You have, like, if you get guacamole or lettuce on there, you want that cold, and you have, like, the hot part.
Yeah,
you know,
put
like
it separate.
But you got to unfold the burrito, and there's no going back. You can't refold the burrito.
If he's been there in 153 days, they'll probably do whatever he wants at that Chipotle. They'll be like, oh, hey, what's going on? You know, you want us to separate that stuff for you?
What if he got, like, one all-cold burrito, like, just full of guacamole, lettuce, salsa, and then he got a hot burrito, which is all full of, you know, the rice and the meats and the vegetables, and he cut half of each, heated up the hot burrito, defrosted the cold burrito, put them together.
You're McDLT in this.
I'm McDLT in it.
Hot old side school. Hot, and the cold side cold.
Says cool, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I think I could do that.
It's not a bad idea.
150, but I can't start it now because he's still going to be ahead of me.
He's done, yep.
If I do it now, I'm hoping that he quits.
Yeah.
At least one day, and then I could take the championship from him. I don't know.
You'd probably have to have him whacked.
153 days.
That's like
that would put me deep in a ski season, wouldn't it?
That would be.
Not a lot of ski areas have Chipotle. That's the hard part. I'd have to buy Chipotle, seriously, put it in the freezer, and then bring it all
bring
up.
Bring it with you. On your way up. That'd if you go up to Vermont, there's one in Albany. Get like six of them.
Does he eat it 3 days? Three meals
one
a day?
No, I think it's like one a day.
I might do the whole breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Do they have breakfast there?
Just get it the night before. Heat it.
Put some eggs in there.
Put some eggs.
Eggs, chorizo.
Yeah. Oh,
that'd be really good.
You could start your own Chipotle breakfast line.
Chibreakfastlette and call it that. And be like, what are you talking about? It's not Chipotle at all. It's Chibreakfastlette.
Chipotle con huevos.
There you go.
That's right.
Like huevos rancheros in a burrito?
In a burrito.
That'd be dynamite.
Huevos rancheros, Chipotle breakfast. Why? So if you're listening to Chipotle, we just want a little, call it the highfalutin ski bum, huevos rancheros, Chipotle breakfast.
Huevos tres comas burritos.
That's right.
Rancheros.
The tres comas.
The tres comas breakfast burrito.
Ah, oh, perfect.
Delicious.
Highfalutin tres comas breakfast burrito. All right. So this next article, seaweed that tastes like bacon. So there are some scientists, very awesome scientists that found a way to keep a strain of seaweed cultivated that it naturally tastes like bacon, and it's seaweed. So this is what everybody's been looking for in the modern world. It's a bacon-flavored item that tastes like bacon that's really good for you.
And you're not killing adorable little piggies to get it.
Oh, think of that. We were talking a lot about this. There are a lot of implications. Think about sushi with this bacon-flavored seaweed.
That is taking shit to the next level.
Boom. You're talking, you know, I'd like a, you know, tuna roll with the bacon seaweed, tuna bacon.
Like a salmon, avocado, bacon seaweed wrap?
Oh! That's,
that's
like a club, a salmon club roll.
I am salivating at just the thought of that.
I'm actually starting to salivate now, too.
That would
about
be so
bacon
good.
Seaweed.
Bacon seaweed.
Mm. So now if they could do that, we were talking about, well, what if they would infuse? So you can't buy cannabis anywhere, right? So what if they were to infuse cannabis?
You can in about five states.
That's true. So if you hybridize cannabis with another plant, and still that plant is not classified as cannabis, are you still able to grow it? Just saying.
Can of bacon. Us.
Can of seaweed bacon.
Can of bacon us. I think that would be like a Nobel Prize winning formula, I believe.
Actually, think about, like, let's say you're a fast food restaurant, and to make your burgers healthier, you put, instead of lettuce, you put the bacon seaweed.
Ooh.
And now you have like a bacon burger without the bacon, so you're saving all those calories, but you still get the flavor. And you get something good
that
into the people.
That would be so good, yeah.
You know, if I was a fast food person that, you know, owned one of these places that are kind of taking a hit from the bad food that they're serving, this would be a perfect opportunity.
Like Whack Arnold's?
Like, that's right. McDowell's?
All right, so you got one more story to wrap up this week's podcast, and it is back to space. So we've talked about Mars and Pluto lately because there's a lot of stuff going on, and we're making a lot of discoveries. We, as in I'm doing it, I'm not doing it, but we as the greater human race,
we're supporting it.
Yeah. So astronomers discover most Earth-like planet yet. A planet believed to be remarkably similar to Earth has been discovered orbiting a distant sun-like star, bolstering hopes of finding life elsewhere in the universe, U.S. scientists said on Thursday. The planet, which is about 60% bigger than Earth, is located 1,400 light-years away in the constellation Cygnus. It was discovered by astronomers using NASA's Kepler Space Telescope and circles a star that is similar in size and temperature to the sun, but older.
How far away is it?
Easy, 1,400 light years away.
So that means the image we're seeing now is 1,400 years old.
Pretty much. So
if
from
we
like
wanted to go there.
Like 700 AD.
So if we wanted to go there, and let's say we could go the speed of light, what we're seeing now, where we're going to, is 1,400 years old. So it might not even be there. Just saying.
That's pretty heavy.
Or there might be life that went on there.
Evolved. In that time.
And it's going to take us 1,400 years to get there.
Yeah, what if they had some sort of like rapid evolution, so there was nothing there now? What we're seeing now, which is the image from 1,400 light years ago, there was nothing. And then in that time, their life came, evolved, and killed itself off in that time period. It's entirely possible.
Entirely possible.
We have no idea.
But the way to get there? Wormhole. Boom! I'm dropping it.
That's how you have to get there.
Linear wormhole, generate that, and you're through there.
60% bigger than Earth too.
That's pretty cool.
And then their sun is similar in size to our sun.
Yeah, and it's similar distance from their sun. So they say like that's why the temperature's probably. I think they said it's a little bit colder, but it's probably in the climate range for at least something similar to us. Kepler 452b is the name.
Rolls right off the tongue.
They got to have something like, come up with a sexy name so people like get enamored with it. Like, I don't want to go to Kepler 4 or whatever it is. Like, you got to call it something.
Planet Starbucks.
I want to go to Planet Starbucks, man. You go there, they got the best coffee.
385 days is their time to orbit their sun.
Oh, so it's a little bit longer, but not much.
Yeah.
Huh.
It said the distance that it is from its sun. It makes it suitable for liquid water, a condition believed to be critical for life.
So the only other comment I have about this, they could tell us all this stuff about a planet that's 1,400 light years away, but they can't find that plane. That's what I'm saying.
It's been, a year and change now?
That's what
no idea.
You got to have technology to find it. I don't know.
They're keeping us distracted, man. They don't want us knowing the truth, man.
But it's like, these are like the strange little things that pop into my head.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, one day we'll get there. Hopefully we won't ruin this whole place. And we can keep staying here and skiing here and enjoying all that Earth has to offer.
Yeah, so to enjoy, like, when we go out to Kepler 452b, otherwise to be known as Highfalutin Ski Bum Palatial Mansion Planet, are we going to have to, like, freeze our head like Ted Williams?
Probably not.
No.
No, we'll probably just have, like, clone ourselves and have, like, clone cyborg versions of us.
Clone cyborg version.
With wings. Made of bacon.
Out of seaweed.
Wouldn't it suck if human meat tasted like bacon and, like, all of a sudden we discovered this?
That's nasty.
And we're like, oh, my God, there's all these people here. Why don't we just
the cannibals out in wherever they are like, they were eating the good stuff the whole time.
Like, why aren't cannibals just being like, dude, humans are so good. Like, why are you eating bacon?
I don't know.
This is the way to go.
Mick Fanning, if he was so tasty, that shark didn't want any piece of him. It's a saying.
Yeah.
And he's a shark.
He is. He's hungry. So this kind of spiraled into a weird, awful place at the end here, didn't they?
So are there people protesting the cruelty to the shark?
I'm sure there are. There's probably like six people somewhere.
That was so cruel to the shark.
And we're bored.
I'm surprised he didn't get eaten or bit.
Yeah.
They showed that kid from North Carolina that got bit.
Ugh.
And it was like, he's lucky because it didn't rip anything off, but he's got like a perfect on both sides, like that, the teeth marks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's pretty badass because you can't get a tattoo like that.
That's true.
That's like a natural made tattoo that he's got bragging rights on.
Yep.
Of course, if I was him, I wouldn't ever go into the ocean.
Nope. He's learned his lesson, I think, at that point. So I guess that's all we got this week, huh?
Yeah.
It's a long podcast, but I think we have a lot of good information in there. And if you guys have any additional information and you want to send it our way, please do skibumpodcast@gmail.com. Skibumpodcast.com. Hit us up on Twitter @SkiBumPodcast or on Facebook, Highfalutin Skibum. That's all we got. So we'll see you guys next week. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon.
Stay high, stay falutin.
Peace.